Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast. And so I am not generally the scripture reader, but I was asked to do it today. So now I know what it feels like. So I might have to adjust the way I go about doing this. So we're going to be in John 17 in our teaching today. And I would love for you to follow along, or maybe some of you actually might want to close your eyes, because this is Jesus's prayer. Many times we associate the disciples saying, "Lord, teach us to pray," and we call that the Lord's Prayer, when in actuality, that is more of the disciples' prayer. If we want to know what the Lord prayed, here it is. Listen to this. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Come, glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. But this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory you shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from this world, and they are staying in this world. Now I am departing from this world, and they are staying in this world. But I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of your name that you gave me. I guarded them so that no one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, but the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you have sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. I gave myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I am preparing not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will ever believe in me through their message. Thank you, Lord. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they will come, then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them." God bless the reading of his word.
If we could please stand in the presence of the Lord. The passage that Pastor Ellis just read to us is the prayer of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, the one who stood before the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Father, I know that you hear me, for you always hear me." This was Christ testifying of his unity with God. For we know, as Scripture says, that if we do his will, he hears us, and that we will have all things which we pray for. So today I want you to grow in your confidence of the Lord. I want you to understand the grace and the glory and the power that Christ has given to you. In this passage, you heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, "He who can tell no lie." He said, "Father, the glory that you have given me, that glory which he had with the Father before the world began, the glory as the Word of God, with God, and who was God, we are now unified with God in that glory." So today, God wants us to touch upon three realities: life, glory, and power. Now, these three realities are inseparable. When God has given us life, in which we will talk about the life that was with him in the beginning, with that he has given us glory, and with that glory, power to live that life. Let us close our eyes. As we stand in the presence of the Lord, I want you to have the utmost confidence in your God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the form of a servant. And after being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself unto death. Behold the love of God that went to the grave for you, so that you and I may be redeemed, and not only redeemed, but that we may be partakers of the divine glory and nature of the Most High. Father, I bless your holy name and I give thanks unto you, for you have sanctified us and sanctified this place so that you may commune with your people. I pray, O Lord, that you may move by your Spirit in every heart and every mind, that the soil, O Lord, may be prepared by the spirit of humility, ready to receive the word with gladness and empowered to endure, that we may bear fruit, having been rooted and grounded in the truth, as your Spirit continues to give us revelation and understanding. May the floodlights of revelation fill our inner man so that we may be like Christ. We may be conformed to the image of he who is true, he who is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. For this is the glory that you have shared with us. You have taken us out of the world as you have prayed to the Father, and you have said that we are not of the world, even as you, the Holy God, are not of the world. What a mystery and what honor to be elevated to such a status and decree by he who sits on the highest throne. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord God. Strengthen our faith and our confidence in you by teaching us your truth. Help us to see what is clear and what is given unto us in the mysteries of your kingdom. For your word declares that it has been given unto us to know and to understand these mysteries. So to you be the glory, O Lord, my God. To you be the praise and the honor now and forever for what you have done for us, the abundance of the riches of your glory and grace in Christ Jesus. Be exalted in the Son, Father, and may the Son of God be exalted in us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, in touching upon these three realities, life, glory, and power, we're going to go through a quick parallel of the life that we have received in Adam versus the life that we received in Jesus Christ. That Christ did not just come to restore us to Adam from where we have fallen, but he came to elevate us to the status of the highest throne. Scripture tells us that we have been seated by God himself in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And this is the Jesus whose name has been exalted above every power, every dominion, every throne, every name that can be named, above all creation, visible and invisible. This is where we are seated. and I want you to know it and to know it well. For this will change your attitude concerning your life, your walk, your endurance, your identifying with the church and those whom you see around you. Can you understand that the person to your left and your right is a holy and divinely appointed magistrate? That that person will co-rule the universe with you for eternity. That God will bring us to such a perfection that there will be no greed, there will be no snatching, there will be a willingness to share all that the universe is with each other. And we have that glory now. He has given it to us now. So before we do that, I would like for us to take a humble step back and to realize where the Lord has taken us from. And what it has caused him to bring us from darkness into his everlasting light in Christ Jesus. I read the word of God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It reads, I am writing about what existed from the beginning. We have heard what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the one who existed even before the beginning. The word of God, before the beginning of the world, Christ. So as we are doing this parallel between the life that we have in Christ and the life that we used to have in Adam, we have to understand that in reality, Adam did us dirty. He gave us an inheritance of sin, death, destruction, chaos, and suffering. But God in his mercy has sent Christ, who is the new Adam, the new man, that he may bring us to a better and greater glory and not just restore us to that nature which was susceptible to the fall in the first place. Romans 5:12 reads, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So we cannot just blame Adam, but we have to understand that we ourselves have strayed from the living God. We have all gone our own ways, and that is the life that we used to live. And Romans 3:12 says again, all have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good, there is not even one. What a condemnation upon all man. That we have no right to look at ourselves and say, I am good. I have done okay. But God, who is the eternal judge, who is the omniscient, the just, the true, looks upon us and says, there is not even one good. Blessed be the Lord for his mercy. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 reads, so I tell you this and insist in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God. Because of their ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. I want us to be warned and to be aware of the warning in Hebrews that God, even though he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and into the wilderness and perform great signs, great miracles, and continue to nourish them and to protect them and to watch over them, the pillar of cloud and the fire by night, still they hardened their hearts against the Lord and chose to walk in disobedience. We have to examine ourselves. How many Sundays, how many teachings, how much time before the word of the Lord? How many prophecies, how much encouragement will it take for us to stand and to live as the body of Christ and to be that shining and glorious light that the Lord has appointed us to be? For he has done it. It is true. It is in us. So we will be held accountable. I want to give glory to God, the merciful God. As he stood and declared to Moses, the Lord, the merciful God, abounding in love, tender and full of mercy. Why? Because it is this God, seeing our wretchedness, who still decided to descend from the heights of glory to tend to us. We are speaking of the God who sits high and looks low, the meek God, full of mercy. So embrace this mercy, no matter where you are in your standing of life, what the Lord has called you to do if you have not done it, what ministry he has given into your hands if you have not done it. You have the chance to repent before he who loves you most and to rise again in strength and in power and anointing and in the glory that the Lord has by his blood afforded for you and to walk in that. So blessed be the Lord for his generous gift and having taken us from our fallen nature in Adam to now he has taken us into the newness in Christ Jesus. From where we were, the word of God declares, and this is what some of you were, but you were washed and you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. This is the glory of the church now. This is our new identity. This is simply who we are. There is no and, ors, or buts about it. The Lord has done it. And we know that the Lord is he who declares the end from the beginning, and at the appointed time, he does what is pleasing to him. So consider yourself a new creation, pleasing to God. Has God formed you in your mother's womb? Has he placed a call upon you? Has he decided that he would anoint you and he would use you in his kingdom? And as he has brought you in this time, in this very place, amongst this wicked and perverse generation, you are new in Christ to live this glory as the body of Christ, pure and holy, blessed and beloved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Believe it and know it well. Let not any other conflicting identities work in your mind. Stand in the truth of this so that you may be able to stand indeed in these evil times, because we know that we are being pressed left and right, front and center by the influence of the world to go back to our old nature, to then relinquish our walking with the Lord or even to just slow down. But you must not and you cannot, because you must identify with the new. You are no longer bound to sin. You are no longer under the power of the law, as Pastor Ellis was teaching us last Sunday. We must go from being two to being one. Christ said, I have given them this glory so that they may be unified and be one, even as we are one. Imagine the Lord comparing our oneness to his own. And what a great mystery that is. And yet it is true. We must be one, one in the mind of God and one in the mind of Christ. So accept this identity, meditate upon it, let the Lord engrave it in your heart and let it take root so that you may live in the glory of the new man. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 writes, "For I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is how we got to becoming the new man. Paul writes this because if Christ has not died, if Christ did not suffer, and if Christ has not risen, we are still dead in our sins, and there is no hope for us. Without the sufferings of the Messiah, there is nothing we can do to obtain this everlasting glory, nor even step away from the law. We cannot unmarry the law. Pastor Ellis told us last Sunday, in order to be unwed, you either go through death or by divorce. We could not be divorced from the law, so we had to die. And Christ took it upon himself so that, as the scripture says, he tasted death for all so that we may live. So live. Understand this and live indeed. Live the life of God in Christ Jesus. Understand what this life is. As Pastor Ellis read to us in John 17, Jesus says, "This life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Amen. This is impossible apart from Scripture. You cannot know God unless you place your mind into the Word of God and meditate upon it day and night. Day and night, even as you go. The Lord told Joshua, let not this word depart from your mind or from your lips. Meditate upon it and speak it so that you may prosper in the way. It is your responsibility whether you will prosper in the ways of the Lord or not. We have to understand this life, just how rich this life is. Now that God has brought us in Christ Jesus, now that Christ has went to the cross and suffered, now that he showed mercy to those who were torturing him, this is the example he has set for us. This is the glory of the body of Christ. It is to walk in the love of God. It is to be steadfast in patience. It is to be merciful with each other. It is to know the Lord our God and by that revelation be transformed from glory to glory in him. As we behold the Lord, as you contemplate in the scriptures what it says, pray to the Lord for a spirit of revelation. For we know that the letter kills, but it is the spirit who gives life to the word and engraves it in our hearts and circumcises our hearts by it. The word of God must be utilized as a lamp. Sit before the mirror of truth, hold the lamp to your identity, and be patient in what the Lord is going to show you. Because we know that it is not easy to stand and to see all of the negativities within ourselves. It is a hard thing to face the traumas, to face the hurts, which have then distorted our minds to think contrary to the truth. But we are called to abide in the truth. This is the life that Christ has afforded us by his suffering. We must abide by it. This is our only hope. This is the glory, and in here is the power. We know that the word of God is powerful, able to even dissect between the bone and marrow, our spirit, our soul, our mind, our conscience, and every thought. That is how we utilize it. Take up the word, read it, analyze yourself, and be ready to be transformed by the Spirit of God. Pray to the Lord for the spirit of humility that you may receive the word which is able to save your soul and walk in it. Do not be afraid of anything. Do not be afraid of the wiles of the enemy, for we have been taught to put on the full armor of God. So put it on, therefore. Put on the belt of truth by reading and receiving the word of God in your hearts. Truly sit with the Lord, because it is only he who causes the increase. One may sow, one may water. You may study and read, but you must learn to walk with the Spirit of God so that he may cause you to grow. Gird your loins, and with that comes all the other parts of the armor of God. Every piece is pointing to a truth. Pastor Ellis has been teaching us a series of teachings that has led us to this point. And we have to ask ourselves, why? Why is the Lord speaking to us about being witnesses? Why is the Lord telling us to armor up? Why? Why is he speaking to us about life, glory, and power? Why did we go through the Enneagram training to understand ourselves and to see where we may have flaws or the good that we have and how God has naturally made us, but the call to be like Christ and where we can make those improvements to grow and to grow in the presence of the Lord, to grow in the maturity of the mind of God and to continue to grow further and further for what is the limit in he who is eternal? We must continue to grow. And the purpose is because we are at war. There is a war before us all. Scripture says in, I believe, Psalm 11, verse 3, when the foundations are shaken, what shall the righteous do? When the foundations of family are shaken, what shall the righteous do? When we are being told that marriage is no longer between a man and a woman as the Lord has established it, where will you stand? When you are in the public square and you are questioned, how will you stand? You will stand by putting on the full armor of God. You will stand in the truth and in the faithfulness of the Most High God. And you will allow God to be God and allow the pieces to fall wherever they may be. We must grow into this maturity. we have to want to partake in the sufferings of Christ so that we may be glorified and exalted with him. If we deny the Lord, he will deny us. But if we are steadfast and we suffer with him, he will be with us through all suffering. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, said he who is true. So it is established. Our faith and our life have to mirror the essence and the character of truth. Truth neither yields nor bends. God is true. He is not going to yield to the wickedness of this world. He is not going to bend to the desires of the hearts of man. He calls us to be steadfast even as he is steadfast. This is the life that God has called us to. We have to stand in it. So be ready to stand with the belt of truth girded. That means take the truth and so meditate upon it, so engrave it in your own heart. Like David said, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Be ready to have such an attitude and a mind concerning life. Be ready to suffer. Be ready to be persecuted for the sake of the gospel. Stand with the Lord because he is standing with you. And take the glory that God has given you and share it with your brothers and sisters here in the church. You have the spirit of holiness. You have the spirit of wisdom, of might, of power, of the spirit of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. You have this in you. This is how Christ has come and taken residence in us. He has sent the spirit of his son that abides in us, crying out, Abba, Father. We are one with him now. So take up this grace, take up this glory and this gifting, and get to work in the house of the Lord. You have to ask yourself, we were having a conversation the other day, and it came up. We speak of the stories of old, the renowned men in the faith. We talk about Paul's journeys. We talk about what David did. We speak of how Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness. When we get to heaven and they turn to you, those men who sought diligently to understand the things which are now being shared with us, the better things in Christ Jesus, when they turn to you and they ask you, brother, sister, what did you do with these things? You had the spirit that hovered upon us and left. You had the grace and the peace of the Most High God that went with you every day, every waking moment ever since you believed. You had God the Father, communion, fellowship, free entry into the throne room, the great white throne of grace where he says, come to me. What did you do with these things? You were given gifts of prophecy for the edification of the church. You were given healing, faith, discernment of spirits. What did we do with these things? Some of us here are probably the greatest instructors and teachers and preachers that we may never get to hear or see, because you are depriving the body of the grace and the glory of God because you are not placing your mind in the word to understand who you are. You are not walking steadfastly in the truth of your identity in Christ, and we are all lacking that grace. So take up the armor of God indeed. Be ready to serve. Be ready to be one, even as Christ has given us the unity and the glory of God to be one, to be like-minded, empathetic with one another, walking in love, abiding in mercy, sharing all the good that the Lord has given us. This is why we are being taught to armor up, so that we may be able to stand and not fall to the attacks of the enemy, which will put us on the roadside and leave us incapable of living and doing these things which Christ has so freely given us to do, the good works which he has prepared for us to do. We have to stand. We have to lift up our shield of faith when the heat is intensifying, not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, so that they too may stand. Like we heard it say earlier, there is much suffering. There is much sickness. People are aching in their hearts. There's sorrows that have gone untold amongst us. Well, why? Why don't we have the love and the unity and the intimacy? How have we not built that yet so that we may come into this pool of grace and receive healing and receive restoration and peace and love and mercy? Why do we fear sharing these things with our brothers and sisters? Is it possibly because we see them not walking in the love of God? We see them not living the life of Christ. It's like we must ourselves be examples of that life. Live out the glory of God in your identity, in the power you have been given by the Holy Spirit. Know that the Spirit of God is with you. The same Spirit that was in Paul, Peter, the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the same Spirit that dwells in you now. So be strong in mind, be steadfast in spirit, and be ready to live out the life that God has carved out for you. We must grow into maturity from praying for whatsoever we want to living out as Christ lived, thy will be done. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the sorrow, regardless of the suffering, regardless of what the enemy will bring our way, we must live in the thy will be done. That is maturity. That is the mind of Christ, to set our hearts upon the things which are in heaven and not earthly things, to not be so worried about what will happen tomorrow because we know that the Lord cares for us. We know that he knows what we will need before we even ask. We must have this mind of Christ within us so that we are able to live out the truth and live the life of Christ. Do not quench the Spirit. As the Spirit is nudging you, pray. Read, reach out, speak to the brother and sister. Stop doing this. Cut out this sin from your life. Do not quench the Spirit. For what he is working in you is for the glory of God, for your exaltation, for your maturity, so that you may see the glory of God in your own life. Beloved, the life that God has given us does not mingle with sin. We cannot walk and continue in the transgressions of the past as though we are ignorant of the knowledge of God. We have to take upon ourselves the responsibility of accountability. What you know, you will be held accountable for. On the last day, the scripture says that they will come to Christ as the king will be seated upon his throne, and he will put the goats to his left and the sheep to his right. And he will turn to the righteous and he will bless them. And I paraphrase, he will say, well done. When I was in jail, you visited me. When I was sick, you tended to me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. He will allow them to enter into grace and glory. Then he will turn to his left to the goats and he will rebuke them with the same judgment. When I was sick, you did not tend to me. When I was hungry, you did not feed me. Imprisoned, you did not seek me out. What does this mean? They will ask him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or naked or sick? When did we see you in jail? He said, as much as you didn't do this to even the least of my brethren, so you did not do it unto me. And remember that as Paul was persecuting the church, the Lord appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? We have to learn to see each other truly as the body of Christ. Look beyond the natural. See into the spiritual. Identify each and every person who is in the body as a child, blood bought, the sacrifice of Christ purchased, child of God. Reason with that. Have the dignity and the respect towards one another. In that, understand the value that is placed upon the person to your left and to your right. We speak much of the early church and how they had this glory of sharing and all needs were met. It's because they live the life of Christ, sanctifying themselves, loving each other, being merciful, seeking out what is best for the other. And that way, they poured their resources. People just came and just gave. Moved by the Spirit and by the love of God, they went, they sold, they gave. Because they loved each other. True love. The willingness to sacrifice with which God is pleased. We have to live this way. This is the glory of the church. The beauty of holiness is found in the love of God. The love of God sanctifies us from the deeds of the flesh. And I read the word of God in Excuse me. In Galatians chapter 9, verses 19 to 21. And these are the acts of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, fractions, and envy, which is idolatry, drunkenness, orgies, and of the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But we are called to better things. We have been eternally appointed to be with the Lord forever. So we ought to live so far apart, so sanctified, that's what that means, so set apart and far from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But again, I repeat, the only way we will be able to do this is if we put on the full armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in the truth. Allow the breastplate of righteousness to be a shield against all slander, against all accusations, because the Lord has called us to be blameless and spotless before him at his coming. Scripture tells us, do everything to be found before him, blameless. And the Spirit of God will help us to do these things if we decide to put our trust in Christ, if we are not moved from the hope of glory that is set before us. And this hope of glory is Christ in us. He is a down payment, a promise to what shall be. For the Lord has decreed it, and it is true. We will be seated in glory. Now that you know these things, now that you see the glory that God has given you, what type of men and women ought we to be? We ought to live in exceeding great joy, always rejoicing. Because regardless of the momentary sufferings, all things are being worked together for our good, for our blessedness, for our maturity, for the weight of glory, which will cause us to forget all the sufferings we have ever experienced in this life and in this world. I am not naive to suffering. I know the pain of chronic sickness. I know what it's like to not be able to get up and have the strength to decide on what to do with your day. I know what it's like to ration energy of whether you will play with your nephew or you will just lay about. It's like, I know what suffering is. So I am not naive to it, but I'm telling you, if you set your mind on Christ, you can have joy in the midst of suffering. You can have strength and endurance in the midst of your suffering. You can continue to taste and see that the Lord is good and that he will continue to strengthen you. Paul suffered with the sickness, and yet he went about preaching the kingdom and welcoming all sufferings for the glory of Christ. That is the mature mind God is taking us to. For even Christ himself, for the glory set before him, the joy of a people bought by his blood from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every creed, and every family of the earth, he endured the cross, a suffering that none of us have ever experienced and do not wish upon each other. But he endured for the glory and the joy set before him. We have to see the glory because it is glory that draws us. We all know that when we want something that is beautiful, regardless of what it is, if it's a new car, if it's a home, it's whatever, we work at it. And the pull to that glory, to that item, to what is beautiful and great and grander, it causes us to continue to work and it drives us, until we have achieved that thing. How much more eternal glory? How much more full maturity in Christ and to see the Lord even as he sees us and to know him even as we are known? We have to lay aside by putting on the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation those things which hinder our mind from receiving these truths. We have to endure in hope. We have to be ready. The readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is to be at peace with God, at peace with your brothers and sisters, at peace with the world. As much as it is up to you, be at peace. Make peace. Seek peace. Pursue it. Establish it wherever you go. Do not be the catalyst to agitation. For the Lord himself, when tortured, he did not revile. He did not threaten. He left all judgment to God. That takes that out of our hands. Because we know that sometimes anger is the emotion for justice. When you are offended, it's anger because you want payback for what has been so wrongly done to you. But Christ has given us an example of the life we ought to live. Be merciful. Show mercy to your enemies. Pray for them. Seek their salvation. What kind of heart and mind is this? It is unworldly. It is not human. It predates all things. It is far beyond and more glorious because it is untethered and unhindered by our nature. It is the heart and the mind of Christ, and we have to live in it. I want us to take these contemplations seriously because, beloved, Scripture tells us that if those who were taken out of the wilderness and who the law came upon, if they disobeyed and every disobedient was found with a just punishment, how much more will we not escape who received the word from him who sits in heaven, the Son of God? So analyze ourselves. So we need to analyze ourselves and take this call to live the Christ of life seriously, because we have been promised suffering and blessing. We have been promised sorrow and joy and strength. And we must be mature enough to understand these things and to not shrink back. So be armored up and be ready for what's coming. We're praying for a city. We're seeking the salvation and the salvation of lost souls. That's going to take us going out and speaking to them. We all came to the truth by the words of another. That's why Jesus said, I pray not only for these, but for those who shall believe on me because of their words. That is us now. The apostles have come and they have gone. And now we are the generation who will speak and many will believe because of our words. So be filled with the love of God. Be filled with the mind of Christ. Be ready to struggle for the sake of the gospel. Be united with one another in this mindset, striving for the sake of the salvation of others. This is who we are in Christ Jesus. Not only do we have the light, we are the light. This is our identity. We are love. God, when he created all things, he said, let every seed produce according to its kind. And we have been birthed by the word of God. He who was with God and he who is God. That is our identity. We identify in him. So as children of God, I challenge you. What are we doing with the grace and the glory and the power that we have been given? How are we utilizing it for the church? Are we communing with each other? When we're hosting events and we're having intentional livings, more people should show up to gain understanding, to grow in truth, so that we may be effective and bear fruit. Jesus said, I have called you so that you may bear fruit and that the fruit may abide. For that is the mark of the children of God. It is our nature. No matter how much we have stumbled or fallen, we will get up and we will persist and we will bear this fruit. So gather together. Do not forsake gathering. Come, join us. Come to prayer. Come to intentional living. Learn, grow, and continue to grow in the glory and in the mind of Christ. To God alone be the glory now and forever for what he has done and what he has given us and where he plans on taking us. Be mindful of this. I would like for all of us to stand, please. Beloved, we know that God is almighty. And I hope that we know that. I want it engraved in the hearts and in the minds of each and every single one of us. God is almighty. He asks, what is too complex for me? There is nothing. It's a rhetorical question. He says, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. And Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it and it shall be done for you. So lay aside all fear, lay aside all worry and anxiety. And if that is what you're struggling with now, I pray that we may close our eyes and lift our hands up as I pray. Father of glory, I bless your holy name. And I give thanks unto you, O Lord, because I know that in the name of Jesus, there is the destruction of every chain and every shackle that has hindered us up until this time. I pray, O Lord, that by your great power, you may deliver your people from every hindrance of mind and of soul, from all trauma. Bring healing, O Lord, to your people. Pour out your spirit upon us, that we may be like you. Pour out your spirit that we may have power. Pour out your spirit that we may be filled and continue to be filled and be effective and bear fruit. Lord, have mercy upon our souls and our sufferings. Hear our cries, O Lord. Heal us. Restore our bodies. Grant us strength and wholeness in the name of Jesus. For your great mercy, O Lord God, my God, I thank you and I bless your holy name. O Lord Jesus Christ, help us to grow in your nature. Help us to receive this truth and to abide in it. May it take root in our hearts, O Lord, so that we may bear fruit and be a blessing to each other, to our lives, to our families, to the community, to the nation, O Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Father, move by your spirit. Move by your spirit, O Lord. Grant us victory over the principalities, the powers, the darkness, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness of this age. And we know that you have given us power to trodden down scorpions and to crush the heads of serpents and to walk over all the power of the enemy. So blessed be your name for the deliverance that is happening in this room. Thank you, O Lord God, for those whom you have set free, the hearts that you have healed, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because your name never fails. And we know that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue must confess your lordship. So we bring down the strongholds. We bring down the powers that have resisted us. We stand saying, blessed be the Lord God who has granted us an open door and a gate of success and of victory, of triumph in health, in spirit, in mind. Glory, hallelujah, to the Most High God. Father, thank you for your love and your warm embrace that we may know that we are never alone. May the depression of loneliness flee us. May the fear of being isolated flee us. May we know that not only do you love us, but we love each other. And may your love be felt in this place, this gathering that is the ambiance of your family. Thank you, Jesus. Those who have fallen away, we pray that you may restore them now, O Lord, my God, that you may strengthen their feet and cause them to take on a new grip, to be steadfast in hope, and to fulfill the mission and the ministry that you have given them. O Lord Jesus, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. To you alone be the glory now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.